I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Happy Friday to you. Welcome to The Memo. It is March 31st. It's the last day of March. Tomorrow's April Fool's Day.
Yeah, it is.
Good luck with that. Stay away from the internet at all costs. I'm Derek, joined by Chris Kiefer today, who held down the fort on the podcast this week, even though we didn't have one. We were supposed to,
yeah.
And Chris did the whole thing by himself, but we've been quite busy here at the Daily Journal.
Yeah, that's why no episode yesterday. We've got some training right now for a new editorial system on Wednesday, right? Yeah. That's right, yeah, we're supposed to have one on Wednesday, and we had some, anyway, a combination of people out for training and Brad being out sick, and it was just having to wear a lot of hats. So we took our interview.
It was a pretty day, and he was sitting at the pool. He wasn't sick.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. That's Brad's way.
That's what it was. That's what he does. But yeah.
So this will be we'll talk about it more, but this will be kind of a hybrid show. We had an interview that we had already recorded for the Wednesday edition with Emma Kent, education reporter, talking about her Sunday story on the one-on-one computer initiative, and then we will combine that with our normal weekend edition.
Good deal.
We have on Fridays.
So with that being said, Emma Kent will be on the show today, as well as Jenna Parsons and Scott Morris. So full Friday show for you as we head into the weekend and tell you what you can expect. It's supposed to be sunny and clear this weekend, so hopefully no more rain, which will be nice.
Yes. It's been a kind of crazy weather month, and I guess this time of year always
it's
is.
It's spring. That's what it does. Right. I think Saturday's supposed to be 80 and sunny, so
nice.
Be a good day to be outside. And you can take this podcast with you outside and listen in the garden or at the pool or wherever you may be going. It's probably not quite time for the pool yet. Brad's weird. He goes to the pool when it's like 50 outside.
That's why I get sick, though.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll do it.
That explains it. So up first on today's show will be Emma Kent. Like I said, we've got food with Jenna Parsons on this Friday. Scott Morris went and saw the film Power Rangers, trying to get in touch with his inner 8-year-old. And so he'll have that review, and then I'll tell you what you can find to do in Tupelo on this lovely weekend. Wait, no. Sunday is supposed to be rainy again. I apologize.
Sunday's opening day, too.
It is opening day. Big day, April 2nd. Yep, there you go.
Cubs, it's not everybody, but the Cubs do have a game, right? Cubs they play the Cardinals at night, I think, and the Giants are also playing Arizona on mid-afternoon.
So, but here it will be a little rainy, might be a good day to stay in and watch baseball.
Exactly.
But, you know, enjoy Saturday while you can. 5% chance of rain that day. So, and that's your weather on The Memo. Stay tuned for Emma Kent.
Emma Kent is joining us now, and I'm supposed to interview her about something, but I'm distracted by this huge piece of chocolate something sitting in front of you. What is that?
It's a brownie, I think, and I don't know what's in the middle of it.
You think? Where'd you get it?
Well, I didn't. It was given to me by a homeless man on the street.
It was not.
I'm just kidding. It was given to me by Carmen.
Carmen Christo.
Yes, she brought it to me, and I don't know what it is.
It's a huge brownie. If you can't finish that, you know, let me know.
I know where you sit, Brad.
Or maybe you could just take it home to your husband. That'd probably be the better option.
You know, he doesn't like sweets
that
much.
That's right. You've told me that before.
He likes like fruity sweets. Kind of like apple pie, like berry kind of stuff, crumbly stuff.
I like that too.
I do too, but
I really love chocolate.
Yeah, but there's you can't beat it. So
okay,
I don't know. Let's try not to be too distracted by it.
I'll try to focus
here. Do I need to put it away?
It's fine. I'll just pull my computer screen up here where it blocks most of my view of it. And I'll look at your story that ran on Sunday in the journal that we're going to talk about.
Speaking of computer screens.
Speaking of segues. No. Speaking of, that was a better segue than mine.
Took me now you know where he's going with that.
Took me a second. I'm smart. I'd wish we'd had like all this stuff when I was in school, computers and iPads, because, you know, you just had to sit there and listen to a teacher drone on for 45, 50 minutes and take notes.
The horror.
Which was the worst. And you had to use textbooks and lug those things around. I never used a backpack in school. I don't know why.
Really?
You just carry them all around?
I just carried all these huge books like this in my arms in high school.
Prepared you for carrying all those babies.
I think I thought backpacks were like not fashionable or something, which I don't know where I got that idea. I don't know how many people had backpacks in my school, actually.
Really?
I'm not sure. It was the 90s.
Did y'all have lockers?
Who?
Lockers?
Yeah, we had lockers. Yeah, I only got stuffed in one once. So there's this one-to-one initiative.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, it's true. This one-to-one initiative a lot of schools are using, including Tupelo Public School District. What that means is every student gets either like a laptop or an iPad, something like that, to aid with the learning process. And this is something they started in Tupelo like 09, I think it was.
Right. That would have been in the Chris Kiefer years.
Back when Chris, was on the education beat. And so Chris can speak to this certainly as well. When that started, I'll be honest, there were some, and I was probably among those who had a certain level of skepticism that this would work, given you know, MacBooks to a bunch of high schoolers or junior high kids, and you know, good luck getting them back not broken. But I guess over the years, it seems to be working. It's almost like a second nature thing now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the kids that I talked to at Tupelo High School were kind of like, you know, it would be weird if we didn't have computers, if we didn't use them every day. I mean, you know, it's just so normal for them.
I mean, you use that stuff every day at home. Most people do. I mean, everybody can afford them, but you at least have an iPod or iPhone probably.
Yeah. So, it'd be weird if you went to school and it was like, you know, going back 10 years and you're like, and you know what I mean? It would be like a time warp if there were, if you were using kind of the same technology that a lot of people are used to on a daily basis.
Right, because, I mean, again, growing up, you know, we used books, which is what we were used to. We didn't have, at least I didn't have a computer at home. I read books a lot, so books is what I was used to. People don't read books as much, which is too bad, but they still read, and just usually it's on an electronic device. So this is something that's, you know, going beyond Tupelo, Ohio. Where else are we seeing this pop up in the area?
You've got Corinth. Corinth wasn't in my story, but they do it there. Right. And you've got Boonville Schools is doing it. Mm-hmm. New Albany, they've been doing it for a couple years. Okay. And I mean, I'm sure there are others I'm probably leaving out, but those are some of the bigger districts that I know are doing this. And I will say I didn't include Lee County in my story, but they are getting close to implementing something like this.
Oh, okay.
So that could be coming fairly soon. So,
Yeah. I mean, and when you think about it, and I think Jason Harris, the principal at Tupelo High, he kind of said it's pretty simple. You know, these kids want to get out of high school and go get a decent paying job. You've got to be savvy with technology because most of the fields is going to require some kind of knowledge of that, I would think.
Right. I mean, if you go to apply for a job, you're probably going to be applying online.
Probably.
And so, I mean, it just is the way that things are. So
the future is here. You know, I saw something the other day, a flying car that they're making now.
Basically, I saw that yesterday. What is
like
that
a
about?
Tiny, it looks like a tiny helicopter. Helicopter is what it looks like. I mean, that's the next thing, right? Flying cars. I don't know how do you
stoplights?
I don't know how that would work. I've always wondered.
I mean,
that.
I guess it's like airplanes, right? Like air traffic control.
I guess ever since I watched the Jetsons as a kid, I was like, okay, but how does that actually work? How do you avoid crashes? You're all flying at different altitudes. Yeah. How do you regulate that? How do you enforce it? I just don't think the flying car thing would work. So it'd probably just be one of those luxury items, you know.
Kind of like, aren't there cars that drive like underwater?
Are there? I don't know.
Yeah, like cars that
submarines.
No, like cars that transform from a car to.
I think I saw something like that like on Phineas and Ferb once, but
no, I swear.
Aqua, isn't there a name for like aqua?
I swear, it's
underwater.
Real.
I've seen them go on water.
Well, maybe on water. That's what I mean. On water.
They have those ducks, as they call them. You can go find those in Branson or wherever.
Boston's got them.
Yeah, Boston's got them. They sure do.
I don't know.
Back to computers. And besides just implementing, using them as tools for learning in the classroom, this obviously allows school districts like Tupelo and Boonville, I believe, is doing it as well, to offer blended classes, as they call them, which is obviously online classes or partly online, right?
Yeah. So with those, it's like most of your schoolwork is online through like an online learning platform.
Yeah.
But then you probably have a certain period during the week where you go and you're in a classroom setting with your teacher. And it's kind of more for like supervision if you need help, that kind of thing. And if you take a test, you usually take those in a classroom setting. So yeah, it's kind of part in person and part online. So obviously having technological manpower, that is not the right thing to say. But the number, the equipment, thank you. My brain It's fuzzy. Yeah.
Need more chocolate.
I don't know. It might put me in a sugar coma. It's a pretty sweet brownie.
I'd finish it off for you if you
I've only
out.
Had like 3 bites of it, and it's a lot. Anyway, having the number of devices that they do makes it a lot easier for them to kind of facilitate those classes and for right. there to be more, you know, for more students just to be able to take them.
Right.
Yeah.
I know one of the many advantages of having this one-to-one initiative is it saves you on cost of, you know, textbooks mm-hmm. and other materials. I think the big obstacle, though, especially in school districts not as well off as Tupelo or Boonville, it's just the initial cost.
The startup cost, yeah.
I know you can speak to that, Chris, when Tupelo started it. I don't know what it cost them initially to get all those MacBooks, and then I think they went to Chromebooks at some point.
They did.
But how much concern was that? Or do you remember when that happened, of just those initial costs and all that?
Yeah, it wasn't. But a lot of what they did, and Emma kind of wrote about this in her story Sunday, was transferring the cost from textbooks. So
right.
textbooks mm-hmm. is a big expense. Textbooks
True.
Are a big expense. And particularly when you've got a renew them, you know, pretty often,
sure.
You know, in subjects like history, you know, they can go obsolete. in fact, I mean, that was a point that we'd make a lot, is by the time, whenever a history book is printed, it's already obsolete because of just the nature of, of, you know, history and news and things changing. But anyway, all to say, they transferred a lot of cost for that and for paper, a lot of handouts. You know, the idea was to reduce handouts and some of that.
Yeah.
So that was some of how they paid for it.
And you might can speak to this too, Chris. Is any skepticism or concern people had at the beginning in Tupelo, did any of those prove to be founded, or does it seem like it's going pretty well, actually?
Yeah, I mean, it's lasted. You know, one of the things, Emma, I was curious, kind of what you found is one of the, I mean, there was, like with anything, there's a lot of points of skepticism. One of the big things was teachers having to change their teaching methods for how they're going to use the devices, and there
right.
was a lot of, you know, training around that. And you know, I think maybe once they had more time to get up to speed, you know, just the nature of classroom and lectures and whatnot changed as they use the devices. I mean, have they, you kind of found much, they talk much about kind of how the classroom is different or what teachers are doing?
You know, I didn't, maybe not for this story in particular,
right.
But just I guess through just other stories that I've written, it seems to me that teachers have really taken to online, just classroom stuff.
Right.
I mean, classroom management, they use, I think I did a story in the fall about Google Classroom, and lots of teachers use that because it's a really easy way for them. They don't have to keep up with, like hundreds of papers anymore.
Yeah.
They can just keep them all organized kind of through that Google Drive or, you know, in other online platforms. So, you know, I'm sure that I would think in the in-between time that there was probably some adjustments that had to be made, adjustment period. But from just kind of my time on the beat, it seems like everyone has really gotten used to it. And it seems honestly like it's like second nature. I mean,
Yeah.
Most classrooms are using technology, and it just seems like that's just it's never seemed like a thing that's weird. It just seems like it makes sense.
Yeah,
and
I'll be honest, I'm kind of amazed that we did education without technology. Of course, I know it's kind of runs parallel with the culture. I mean, you didn't necessarily need the technology like we use it now 30, 40 years ago, because you know, the thing just didn't seem to move as fast. But just for instance, my kids go to TCPS, and I can just go online anytime onto the website they have where they keep grades and whatnot, and just check on my kids' report cards
mm-hmm.
or if they did their homework assignment or whatever, and see what else is going on. And I know that's a whole different aspect we're not really talking about, but just as a whole, the whole technology thing. Of course, you know, they have a lot of stuff they have to do online with their assignments, and it's like so much more convenient.
Yeah, I think it is more convenient, especially for kids. Like, I mean, just think about, I'm thinking about like my brother, because he's not in high school anymore, but he was recently. And I mean, I just remember like him bringing his backpack home from school. He would come home with like papers really, you know, just crumpled up and like spilling out of the backpack. And it's just like that doesn't have to be an issue anymore because they can just save it on their computer.
It's so much easier to be organized.
Or they can immediately drop it to where it needs to go to turn it in. And so they don't have to worry about it getting lost between home and the classroom.
My kids email so many of their assignments to their teachers. They'll give them like, oh, you got a midnight deadline tonight.
Yeah.
So A, you get a little extra time maybe.
Yeah.
And B, you can just, boom, send an email. Like my daughter who's in college, my oldest, she sends me papers of hers to proof all the time.
Yeah.
Because she's going to the W down there. So she can just send them to me. I can proof them, send send them back, and then she sends them on to her professor about whatever the deadline is. Which, well, and also, you don't have to, like, take the time to write stuff, which I hate to say that kids maybe aren't developing their handwriting skills. I know that's important. It's a lot faster to type. Even if you're not a great typist, it's still faster.
Yeah.
Everything's faster.
Yeah. Well, and you got to think, for teachers, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than, like, having to chase, you know, hound kids at school and be like, where's your paper? You didn't turn in. You know, I mean, it's just like, okay, you know, it goes here. You turn it in here. There's no more like, oh, I lost it. Like, I mean, I guess you could be like, oh, my computer crashed. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, there's no more my dog ate my homework, but you could say your computer crashed, I guess.
Don't know. I just think on all sides, from what I've seen and just heard people kind of just general chit chat, is that it has made things a little more streamlined, a little more organized.
I'm sure there are kids who are old enough to have remembered how it was before. Mm-hmm. They had to, like a lot of the high school kids now, you know, didn't have computers, as a lot of the elementary kids now do in Tupelo. And so they remember, and they can compare, obviously, between the two.
Yeah.
Big difference.
And I'd say, too, going back to the early days, you know, also talking about some of those things, I mean, there were logistical questions as far as having to have help desks and, you know, what to do for computers broken. And, you know, there were things that had to be worked out. Probably one of the biggest concerns was people thinking that kids aren't going to be responsible enough to handle it right, and that computers are going to get broken, and, you know, you can't give them new toys because they'll abuse them. And, you know, surely, you know, over so much time, there would be computers that were abused. But, you know, on the whole, obviously, you know, I think when you've also given them that device, that allows them to be more engaged and, you know, makes learning more relevant and, you
know, makes it more fun.
Yeah. And I think that makes them want to take care of the computer better. And, you know, there's some of that. But I mean, I think the ultimate thing to show how it's worked is the fact that other districts have now adopted it and have been able to learn from, you know, the lessons that Tupelo had from the beginning. You know, a lot of districts early on would say, sometimes privately and off the record, that they're, you know, it's great what Tupelo's doing, and they're envious, and we don't know if we could do it here yet, or get the parents to buy in, or find the funds, or whatever. But, you know, now it's kind of getting to the point where it's really spreading.
Yeah, and I mentioned the cost obstacle earlier. I guess maybe more than the initial buying of the devices might be the just making sure you have the Wi-Fi capacity and all the fiber optic cables.
Yes, that has been that was something when I talked to Jason Harris for this story, and just that I've heard in general, is that, like, buying the devices isn't that bad. I mean, it's expensive, but it's not it's not as big of an investment as rewiring the school to be able to handle all of that. Because you got to have, I think he said at the high school, and I think this was in my story, that there's about, you know, at any given time, you've got 1,200 kids on their laptops using the internet. You know, I mean, so you've just got to have the infrastructure to be able to support that. So I think that's probably, I mean, obviously the cost of the device isn't an obstacle for some schools, but I think the network is more of an obstacle because it costs.
And you got to maintain the network.
More, So, and that kind of, and that brings, you know, another thing, and this wasn't in my story, but I talked to Todd English, the superintendent at Boonville Schools, about this, and he said, you know, it works well as kind of a way to level the playing field for students from different income levels, I guess, because you've got students who come from, like, middle to high income homes, and they've got a device. If the school didn't give them a device, like, they would probably have one at home that they could use. But then you've got kids who come from low income households, and they don't have devices at home. So, like, the school is giving them exposure to technology where they might not get it anywhere else. So I thought that was an interesting point, kind of to think about.
And haven't you written also recently about using mobile devices in classrooms? And how do most school districts handle that? Because most kids have one anyway. We're not going to buy them one, but I think there's some school districts allow kids to use them.
Yeah, that's actually, so like I said earlier, Lee County Schools doesn't have one-to-one yet. But at most of the high schools, at least, students are allowed to bring their own devices to use during class.
Be they smartphones or iPads or whatever.
Right. Laptops, just whatever, whatever they have and they want to bring and use it during class. You know, it's like a bring your own device sort of program. So, I mean, that certainly, I'm sure there are other schools who do that too.
Sure.
So
I guess the only drawback to that is it's harder to
monitor, maybe.
To monitor and keep accountable kids, because you can't really go and just search their browse history on their personal device.
Yeah, that's true.
Over here playing Yahtzee on your phone. I'm taking notes, Teach. For real. Yahtzee. You know.
Although the argument, you know, because you'd hear the same arguments when they first went one-on-one, and the counter argument would be, you know, that a good teacher doing classroom management and walking back and forth in the classroom and everything. You
that
know.
Too,
yeah. Yeah, I mean,
set the tone.
A teacher is going to know, like, if you're zoned out playing Yahtzee on your phone.
And there's certain websites that have blocked, don't they?
On the network.
Yeah, on the network.
You'll have certain things that you couldn't access.
Right.
So, I mean, I definitely think, yeah, like what Chris said, a good teacher is going to know which students are engaged in their work and which students are just like, you know, Pinteresting or whatever, which would have been me in my college classes. Exactly. But and my professors definitely knew.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, good stuff there in Sunday's Journal. Also, you can find it at djournal.com. Emma is on the Twitter at mcrawfordkent. Thank you, Emma.
Thanks, Brad.
Look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with Brad Locke, Blake Morgan, and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it free in iTunes podcast apps or at preprally.djournal.com. We did not have an episode this week with Brad out sick, but look forward again next week. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and Mississippi State reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon, which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Also, remember you can wake up each morning and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's news break at djournal.com. It's a quick roundup of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted at Facebook, YouTube, djournal.com, and the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Jenna Parsons joining us on this Friday. How are you, Jenna?
I'm good, Derek. How are you?
You look lovely on this Friday.
Oh, you need an eye doctor checkup.
I did. That's why
I have new glasses. Oh, you do have new glasses.
I got them last night, as a matter of fact.
It's very nice.
I can see. For the past year, everything's been fuzzy, and I thought my vision was, I thought it was something that was wrong with my eyes, and turns out there was. I just need a new prescription.
Well, there you go.
Which is great because I can see these beautiful lemons on the front of the food
section. Isn't that a pretty front?
Because you showed it to me the other day and I was like, I think they're lemons, but I can't tell. Everything's kind of blurry.
Our new old copy editor, Scott Burden, designed that and he did an excellent job.
Yeah. For the love of lemons. What do you do with lemons, Jenna?
I do everything with them.
Do you?
I do.
I put them down the garbage disposal.
We don't have one, but my mother used to do that. Yeah. Make it smell good. Lemons and oranges. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I do that. You don't have a garbage disposal?
Our house is 75 years old. Our kitchen
has
it.
Hard to put in.
I don't want garbage disposal.
Really?
No, I don't. They're trouble. People's are always tearing up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine life without one.
We've got three cats and a dog. We don't need
garbage
disposal.
And a husband. Right. So and a son. So there are your garbage disposals right there.
Well, right.
There you go. What for the purposes of this story, what did you do with lemons?
Well, did several things. Did a spring tart, which is one of our favorite things. We do that almost every year, usually around Easter or Mother's Day or Father's Day. And then there's a recipe for lemon tea bread, which is delicious. I've given that as gifts before. The lemon glazed coffee
cake. I'll
happily
accept that if you want to give me a gift or anything.
Well, I should bring the lemon glazed coffee cake came from a woman in Pontotoc County a year or two ago. I went to do a story about her bed and breakfast, and she made it for the photo to be in the kitchen when we shot the, and it was so good, and I got the recipe, and it's delicious. I shall make that.
She shall. You got it in recording now. She's being held to
it. I will.
She's
we
on
also
the record.
Have some savory dishes like lemon chicken and a slow roasted garlic and lemon chicken. That one's easy. Lemon orzo, tilapia with the lemon caper sauce. There is just nothing you can't put lemon juice in.
I'm hungry. I don't know about anybody else listening to this right now. The lemon spring tart specifically looks really good.
Yes.
Mostly because I see kiwi is garnished on
it. Yes, kiwi and blueberries, strawberries, whatever you want to put on the top of it.
Kiwi, in my opinion.
No, I love kiwi.
Kiwi is my favorite fruit.
Yes, yes.
It's up there. Your column for this week, we'll just skip that because it's got pork tenderloin in it. And I'm just move on down to your cook of the week.
You like pork tenderloin. It's pork loin you don't like.
No, it's pretty much both of them.
What is the difference?
A pork tenderloin is the tenderloin. It's like a beef tenderloin. It's
okay.
There maybe like a pound, and you cut it into little medallions, and then the pork loin is larger. It's like what the chops are cut out of. So it's a bigger cut of meat. Usually a pork loin can be up to, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 pounds, but we usually cook maybe a 3 pound portion when we cook it. Okay. So tenderloin's a lot more lean, a lot less fat, very versatile and very quick.
You okay, Derek?
I'm good.
Derek's gagging.
So your recipe calls for Dijon mustard.
And rosemary.
Uh-huh. I like her.
And orange marmalade.
Yeah.
And all those flavors are good. And let me add, Derek.
Creole seasoning.
This would also be very good on chicken.
Oh, yeah?
Right.
We can skip that.
Because it's
so
still
just
it's
trade
the
out the pork tenderloin for some chicken.
Yeah, because it's the same flavors, you know, the mustard and rosemary. And I think it's got a little bit of garlic and the orange marmalade. Those just go together. So
I'm good with
that.
Doesn't
matter.
There you go. That sounds excellent. As long as I pretend it's chicken. Your cook of the week this week. Your cook of the week this week is from Tupelo, Mr. Rogers.
Chris Rogers.
Is he in our neighborhood?
He is not too far from my neighborhood.
Oh, okay. So he is Mr.
Off
Rogers' neighborhood.
Yes, yes.
Oh, so he is in my neighborhood.
Yes, okay. He is right in your neighborhood.
There you go.
Just about all of his recipes look really good.
Yeah, if you'll notice, he is not a sweet maker. His wife, Holly, who's a vegetarian, she does the cakes and the cookies and the pies. Chris is and I don't even want to say meat and potatoes. He likes meat. He smoked chicken. He did some pheasant poppers where he wrapped them in jalapeno and onion. And,
really good.
Yeah, and bacon, and put them on the grill. He does barbecue shrimp. He does all manner of game. He grew up hunting, and he says they cooked what they killed. So
I like to couple that with the lemon desserts and just make for a really good meal. All that sounds good together.
Good summer
to me. Yeah,
grill it, put it on the grill, and
yeah,
you can. Chris is also Scott Morris wrote about him. I think it was last year. He's one of a group of men who go to the Masters tournament, the golf tournament in Augusta, every April. And Chris is the chief cook, so he's in charge of. And they had the same menu every night of the week because he said it's the tradition, and the Masters is all about tradition. So
they eat the same thing every night.
They have of each week, like
oh,
every
I see.
Year,
so Monday
every
is the
year
same
they
thing.
Have
okay.
pork on Thursday. They have gotcha. Steak on Friday. They have seafood.
Makes
on
sense.
Saturday, and they have steak again on Sunday.
I hear you.
And he may change up the sides, but he said, whatever it is, they eat good.
Is Charlie going to work his way into this group?
Jenna would like to work her way into the group. I dropped several hints, but I don't know that he picked up on it.
I just, you know, it'd be a shame if the story didn't get run. Maybe you take me with you.
I think
Maybe
I'd have to kill run. Somebody to get into that group, and I, you know. Then I'd go to jail. So
well, we wouldn't want that.
No,
then I
no.
don't get my lemon cake. So yeah.
That's right. I am going to make the lemon coffee cake.
Yes.
Is that next weekend? It's coming up, right?
The no, Masters? It's not the second. It's not the ninth. It's the weekend. It is the weekend
of Easter.
It's the weekend of the. It's the ninth. It's Palm Sunday
okay.
weekend.
Yeah. Okay. So next weekend then.
Right.
Not this one
right.
coming up, but right.
Right. Yes.
Who do you? Who are you taking this year?
Well,
you know,
I got to root for Jordan again, and he's so ready for this one to be over after he blew up last year.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of them that have potential. That young Justin Thomas is looking good, and DJ, of course, is looking great, number one in the world. And so it'll be fun to watch it no matter who, because it's always the best of the best. And they love this course, so they're always enthusiastic.
Sure.
And one day I'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get you there.
Thank you.
We'll do our best.
Jenna, all right. I appreciate that.
Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
Watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 or catch the replay later in the day. And we are now joined by Scott Morris.
Good morning, sir. Or good afternoon, depending on when you're listening.
Yes. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine and dandy, like a hard candy Christmas.
There you go. This week, your movie is Power Rangers.
Power Rangers, yeah. Were you a fan of the show growing up?
I was not. I never watched it. My little sister watched it, and I remember her having it on and us kind of teasing her about it because that's what you do when you're an older brother. And
yeah.
But
I was aware of it. I mean, I think it may have came over the shores after I was an adult. I'm not sure when it started broadcasting 94? Here.
94?
94, yeah. I was 93? Yeah, well, technically, I was an adult at that time in 94, 93, yeah, technically. But I was aware of it, but I never really watched it. I knew what it was about. I could have told you that a bunch of kids turn into these warriors and Power Rangers and, right. and fight monsters.
Fight bad guys, yeah.
In bad costumes. And so I was surprised, probably not, didn't need to be, but good production values here. So if you've seen the show before, horrible production values in the old days for the show. Here, very nice production values. I would say the story has a lot in common with in some ways, with an after-school special. Because you have these five misfit kids who were thrown together for whatever reason, and they had to learn to... They learn to realize they're not alone, that they're a part of a team. So that's kind of the moral of the thing. And I thought that worked for the most part. The five teenagers who are chosen to be the Power Rangers, and they have a lot to learn before they're ready to take on that responsibility. So I was surprised how late in the game the robots battling the monsters came.
Hmm.
And I was also surprised somewhat by how much I was interested in their storylines, because the characters, the young actors do a fine job. They're charismatic, and it's not nothing particularly deep, but you know, I got into it a little bit more than I thought I would.
So in terms of storylines too, this, even though it was a TV show, this doesn't pick up for off of anything. It starts with the origins and goes
it's the origins. You don't have to have seen it mm-hmm. to watch this, and also if you have a kid, a family member, a boyfriend or a girlfriend who'd watch this and wants to see this, and you know nothing about it, you're not going to have a problem showing up and watching the story unfold. You may or may not like what you see, but again, it had some laughs in it that I wasn't expecting. It had some nice moments, and so there's entertainment value there just for somebody who's not a fan. But I don't know how a fan would respond. That's up to them.
You talk about the after-school special feel to it. I mean, some of that is just, I think you said in your review, there's not a lot of gray. It's good versus evil, black and white. Huh?
Well, you know, it's like they are. There's like there's
heavy
also,
morals.
Yeah, and very bold colors, but painted right. in bold colors. Moralistic. There's a good guy, and there's good people and bad people, and they know what to do about all that. And so, yeah, not it's not going to tax your storytelling muscle at all to watch this. And there's some stupid things. There's one moment that I was with it. It took me out of the picture for a while. Just for a while, this big old machine just goes off and does havoc on the outskirts of town, sure, but it leaves, you know, it leaves a wake. It's tearing all kinds of things up, and nobody notices that it happened, and there's no consequences of it actually happening. And it's like, oh, you just wanted to have that moment where this cool thing happened where this guy's freaking out in the cockpit of this vehicle. And stuff like that, that, mm-hmm. that kind of annoys me because it's not part of the story. It's not, it's just something that happens.
Sure.
But hey, I am criticizing it, but I'm not criticizing it heavily. I mean, this is, take it for what it is. This is a piece of fluff. And if I didn't have to write a review of it, I don't know if I would have remembered much of it. Mm-hmm. And once I left, it's like, okay, let's move on with our lives. But my daughter, she loved it. She came home kind of pumped about it. My son, she's 14. My son is 11. Or he's 12, excuse me. And he's not quite as enthusiastic, but he enjoyed it. I give it a C+.
And Kelly Carlson had a little bit of a higher grade, which she gave it a B.
You know, but I talked to her about that after she gave me that yesterday, and she said she thought about maybe giving it a D, but she didn't want to hurt the actor's feelings.
Speaking of which, names in this?
Bryan Cranston is like a 6-million-year-old former Power Ranger who's in it as a disembodied head. I actually found out he had done early in his career, he had done voices. He had done voiceover work, you know, because they were made overseas and imported, mm-hmm. and he had voiced villains in the past.
Huh.
And then the main villain this time, our ancient Scourge, is played by Elizabeth Banks, as some might remember. As far as the young cast, I didn't recognize a single name, and I'm not going to begin to try to pronounce some of them. So you'll just have to look them up on IMDb database. So showing all around, showing at the Malco, at the Cinemark, showing in Tupelo, Oxford, Corinth, Columbus, all around. New Albany at the Movie Reel 4, so you can catch it if you're so inclined.
There you go.
And if you have to take a kid because they love the original, I don't think you'll hate this. But just go get popcorn and enjoy.
Sit back, enjoy. Don't look for something that's going to stick with you.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Scott.
Hey, you just might learn a thing or two before it's over.
But good.
After school special.
Morals. Be enlightened on how to be a better person.
Well, it's just like you and Derek. I mean, when you wouldn't think that three of us would have anything in common because you guys are, you guys and I'm me. But, if we were forced to save the world together, we'd be buddies.
We'd have to.
We'd figure out a way to get beyond it. Like Brad and Derek, who hate each other, would learn to love each other.
Fair enough. Thanks, Scott.
I was going to say, I'm glad that's getting out over air. I hope people understand that we do hate each other, and it's not just... I hope we're not making that subtle, that we do hate each other. I'm kidding. I love Brad.
All right, Derek, tell us what else is going on this weekend.
Well, if you love music and you love kids, and who doesn't, you can head over to TCT off Broadway, Tupelo Community Theater's Franklin Street location behind the Bancorp South Arena. They've got a kids show this weekend called On the Radio. It is about the history of radio, which is pretty cool to me. Radio has always fascinated me, so I enjoyed sitting there and watching the kids. They sing songs from different decades, all the way back to the Andrews Sisters, from the war and forward up through the 80s and 90s. So it's got about 15 kids in the cast that perform. So it's pretty cool.
Does TCT do a kids production every year?
They've tried to. Sometimes they don't, but they're doing better about that.
What age group?
I would say up through probably fifth or sixth grade. I'm not exactly sure what age groups they've got in there, but it's a fun evening, and it's Friday and Saturday, today and tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $10 and $5 for students. This weekend is also the return of the Tupelo Comic Con. This is the second year. It's going to be at the Furniture Market this year, Saturday and Sunday. You can find out more at TupeloComicCon.org. Bluegrass musicians Kenny and Amanda Smith will be performing at the Link Center at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets are $12 in advance and $15 at the door. 690-4011 for tickets on that. This weekend is also the Oxford Conference for the Book that's been going on for 24 years. This is its 24th year, I guess.
Wow.
So that always brings people far and wide to listen to authors and find out more about books.
Is there a theme or a...
I don't know what this year's theme speaker is. This is the 24th Oxford Conference of the Book. They've got speakers all weekend. Mm-hmm. So it actually started yesterday, Wednesday, so it concludes today. So today will be your last chance to get out to Oxford and experience some of that. OxfordConferenceForTheBook.com, I believe, is the URL there. So
anybody at Blue Canoe this weekend?
Yep. Aaron Lee Tazgen, I believe, is the name on that, is performing tonight. Toshiva is performing Saturday. And then on Monday, Brian Dart is performing at the Blue Canoe. So we also got American Reverb at Romy's Grocery tonight. Walt Cunningham at Nautical Whimsy tonight. And Proud Larry's Sweet Crude is performing. So always a lot of live music in the area to be found. There's Northeast Mississippi's Arts and Entertainment for you for the weekend.
Lots to do.
Yep.
All right. Good show.
Good show. Thanks for filling in.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Such big shoes to fill.
Jeez. Yeah. Take some of the pressure off, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Big hair to fill, too.
No. I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, good.
Can't do anything about that. I don't use hair gel. That's fine.
No, that's natural, he says. He actually, few people know this, and he's very embarrassed by it, so please don't email him and make fun of him about it. At a young age, stuck his finger in an electrical socket, and it stayed that way ever since. So that's why you never see it down.
Well, I was going to say that was the only side effect, but I'm not sure that it was.
Anyway.
Where can they find us, Derek?
They can find us online at memo.djournal.com. Also on podcatchers like Satchel or iTunes. Find out when new episodes are available by following us on Twitter at djournalmemo. And all the stories we discussed today you can find in your daily journal or online at djournal.com. And we'll be back on Wednesday with a new episode.
See you then.
All right.